Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 26th of May, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. And of course, you can tell that Steve... somewhere in the Southwest, the great American Southwest, one step ahead of the law.
Flying high,
riding his horse among the Badlands and hiding in the box canyons and climbing up to the tops of the mesas and all the stuff we dreamed of doing as children, watching Westerns on TV. And here we are stuck talking about Microsoft. If this weren't so infuriating, it'd be heartbreaking. According to multiple reports, Microsoft is pushing Windows 10 version 1803 onto PCs that are specifically set to bypass the upgrade until it's declared fit for business use. We saw forced upgrades three times with Windows 10 version 1709. In mid-November 2017, Microsoft pushed many Windows 10 1703 customers with current branch for business selected onto 1709. In mid-January of 2018, the company pushed a lot of 1703 customers onto 1709, even though they had feature update deferrals set to 365 days. In early March of this year, Microsoft pushed Windows 10 1703 customers onto 1709 based on the company's contention that it had the right to do so if telemetry is turned off, which means diagnostic data level is set to zero. In Microsoft's mixed-up world of update terminology, which has changed at least three times in the past year, semi-annual channel, which used to be called the current branch for business, is supposed to delay upgrades until Microsoft determines that the new version of Windows 10 is fit for human consumption, or presumably paying business customers.
Yeah.
This comes on the heels of the original rollout 3 weeks ago when those with the temerity to check for updates were deemed seekers and treated to an upgrade with no option to stop it. It seems check has a different meaning in Windows 10 update terminology. Those who don't have branch readiness set to semi-annual channel, including all Windows 10 home customers, by the way, who cannot set branch readiness, are considered cannon fodder ready for the unpaid beta testing phase whenever Microsoft sees fit. In the past, Microsoft has said that it takes about 4 months to get their final beta version of Win 10 debugged to corporate standards. Pay attention to that sentence. What it means is that for 4 months, you are a beta tester.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the length of the delay and the method of notifying folks that the new version has passed muster is open to debate. The method and delay have changed with each of the Windows 10 versions that we've seen. Microsoft, of course, isn't saying a word. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Microsoft is forcing updates to version 1803. Your choices are, I was forced, but it worked. I was forced, and it ruined my computer. I have successfully blocked it so far, and Windows. so far, we have 22 votes, and so far, 68% of you have said, Windows. but I know you'll have more to say about this. So if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion, currently at least. The first item on the poll discussion is 26 May 18, Microsoft forcing updates to V1803. So far, we've got two posts. But I know you have much to say about this yourselves. So and then of course you can join us online. Talk about anything. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
What folks have to remember, though, too, is that these updates and that, you don't own the software anymore.
Right.
So Microsoft can change, alter, and do whatever they darn well please, because you know what? You didn't pay a penny for that software.
Even if you did, read the license agreement.
Right. You're just leasing it.
Right.
Hello. And as the owner of it, because right. you aren't now, if they want to do it for an update out there, they can.
That's exactly right.
They own it.
And don't forget, they're heading toward the subscription model, at which point you won't get any say on what happens when it happens. And that's just the way it is with Windows. That's how they're doing things. Microsoft is making money hand over fist, but they don't feel they're making enough money.
Well, because you're not paying, not like the days when, you know, Windows 3 came out, remember 3.1, and then, you know, all the steps up. Windows 5, they used to make tons and boatloads of money, people rushing out. They used to have breakout parties at night for the newer version of Windows, and people would be packed in the...
Remember, we were at Egghead Software. We were cooking breakfast for people coming in at midnight.
I think that was for version 5, wasn't it?
No, it was 95. Windows 95.
95, okay. And, you know, like I say, they're anxious to get the software, take it home and put it on their machine. And the stores were making, as well as Microsoft, were making boatloads of money.
Yep.
Right now, they're not.
The problem Microsoft has, their big problem, is Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
It was an excellent piece of software,
and nobody wants
by
to give
Microsoft
it up.
Standards, and nobody wants to give it up.
Yeah, it still is.
It's exactly right.
A lot of folks, for the hardware they have, especially in corporations, there's a few businesses I've seen, and I go into it, and I go, whoa, you're still running Windows 7? They go, hey, it works great. Why? We don't have the money to, you know, invest in all new hardware and put Windows 10 on and learn that. And it's like, yeah, I hear you.
Well, and that's just it. Moving up to something else costs money, whether it's just in terms of new hardware or also in terms of training.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be trained. When you buy a new computer, you've figured out that you can afford to spend that money. And at this point, you know you're going to get Windows 10 on it.
Yep.
So you accept that you're going to be learning to use Windows 10. But businesses have to do more planning for that sort of thing. If it takes you an extra day to figure out how to poke somebody on Facebook,
nobody
loses any money.
Yep.
But if a business can't get out invoices or can't, you know, print stuff or whatever it happens to be, they're losing money. So
The program wound up screwing up one of their other key turn programs that does all their ordering and everything else and that type of stuff, and messes up the database or something else.
Right.
You know?
Well, and what we used to do at RIT, and I know Dave still does this because Dave was the one doing it back then. I pushed all the hard work onto him. It's good to be the boss. But he would...
You're expanding his knowledge.
Expanding his knowledge is exactly right. I was grooming him to take my job.
And he is doing it now, right?
He did. He took my job I retired.
Well, then, you did a good job that. He should be thanking you.
He should be grateful. Doggone it.
Did you get a big present on your birthday?
No, oddly, I did not.
You should from him. I would think.
I know.
He owes you.
We would download a copy of the new version and test it. We test it on a VM and we test it on a typical hardware configuration, laptop or whatever. And only when we figured it was good enough that it really did work and didn't screw everything up, then we would push it out to everybody. But now what's happening is Microsoft is taking over that and pushing it out anyway. And you better hope your machines don't have an issue with it, because otherwise, oh well.
And see, here's the thing. You know, back in the day when we'd push stuff out, because we used to have a separate machine at the shop that we'd put it on. It was totally isolated. If it crashed, no biggie, because it was a scrubbed hard drive, put it on. But nowadays, you know, like you say, putting it out is more complex. And what I mean by that, there are more video cards, motherboards, all different combinations and configurations of machines than, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
Makes it more complicated.
Right. And one of the real problems, of course, is the registry. In a product like Linux or the Mac OS, the configuration files for various products are all separate. So if you install a product that might be in amateurishly written or has a glitch when it's installing or whatever, it can damage itself, but it can't ruin anything else. On Windows, everything is kept in one giant file called the registry, and consequently, if one program screws up, it can ding the registry and make it damaged. Now, that may not, in fact, harm any of the programs you have running. But when you do an upgrade, it may, in fact, have an issue. And we're seeing that over and over and over again. And there are millions of programs, not all of which are as well vetted as they should be. And I don't mean in terms of viruses or anything else, just they don't handle the registry well.
Yeah. Well, again, that's going back to even that call last week where I said folks can get into trouble. And right. That's why in this show, we have never, nor will we ever, tell folks to go into the registry and change things.
Yep.
Because all you have to do is accidentally click on one thing. Because when you're in the registry, you could go down here, say, click on something. And then you keep scrolling down and down and down and click on something else. And the item that you clicked up on the top that you forgot about, and you go ahead and say delete. Boom.
Both gone.
Both are gone. Well, I only did that one. No, you forgot to unclick the one up there. And that's why, you know, people can get dangerous because they get in there and they get click happy.
Yep.
Just like installing stuff. Oh, click, click, click. Yeah. You installed all these extra toolbars because you don't take the time and read.
Right. And the thing that most hurts me, causes my teeth to ache, is I didn't know what it was, so I deleted it.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, that's like nails on a chalkboard to me. Oh, you didn't say that, did you?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I didn't know what it was, so I deleted it.
Can you undo it? No.
No, I cannot. No. We can reinstall the operating system,
Yeah. But
you will lose everything you've got. You deleted it. It's gone.
Yeah.
That's what delete means.
Like I say, they could be dangerous. And it's not. I'm not using that term in any manner than, you know, trying to belittle people or anything else. It's just that that's why we've done this for as long as we've been doing it. Because we know what we're doing. Somewhat. At least it's gotten me through the past 30 some odd years of doing it.
Right.
You folks.
He's so old he doesn't even remember how long he's been doing it.
I'm older than dirt. I think I invented that one too. But, you know, don't take it wrong, folks, when I say, you know, you could be getting into trouble. It's not that you're stupid or anything else. It's just that these things are very complex in the balancing act.
Right.
And all it takes is one line that you accidentally change or do or that can mess up your whole machine. And then you take it to somebody and then you're going to get upset when they say, well, we're going to have to reinstall the machine, the operating system. You're going to lose everything.
Right. Right. Well, and worse is you go to install a new version of Windows, an update for Windows, and it borks. It dies. And you don't realize it's because a month ago, you screwed around in the registry, and you don't remember that.
Yep.
But that's what happened.
Yeah.
Or you installed and then uninstalled something, and it uninstalled poorly, and it left junk in the registry.
Oh, that's what, especially if you installed it, uninstalled it, you know, and...
I know a lot of people who do beta testing and stuff like that, but do it in VMs, or they do it on a separate machine from their regular work machine because they know that installing and uninstalling is going to screw stuff up. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, you. We have Rich from Irondequoit waiting patiently on the line. We'll get to him when we come back. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And just before we get to the phones, let me just say that on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to give my thanks to people like Dave and Shirley, Steve's Steve's wife, and all those who put themselves in harm's way to ensure that I am a free man, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you all. Thank you all for your service.
And the other thing is too is you know, I'd like to put a shout out there because my nephew is still over. I believe he's still overseas.
Yeah.
I've lost track of where you go. Afghanistan, Kuwait, you know.
Probably shouldn't know anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, for our loved ones that are serving our country right now and keeping us free.
Yep.
You know, thank you for the job that they're doing now to continue on so we still have these freedoms.
God bless each and every one of them. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Rich from Aranda, Kuwait, New York. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Oh, guys, welcome to the beginning of summer, I hope.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy.
We're finally here.
Yeah, enjoy it for the week.
Yeah, that's it. It'll be winter on Tuesday.
Hey,
shut up.
Were some stores that are already putting up their fall displays.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably. You're right. Hey, I had called a few months ago with a problem with my Windows 10 updating.
Yeah.
When I had gone and update, it would automatically by itself take out my network adapters. And not allow me to, like, get back on the Internet or anything like that. You guys made a suggestion of me going out and finding those adapters. I went to the Dell website and, you know, did my service tag and everything else and saw either updates or what I'm assuming were the drivers for those network adapters.
Correct.
Tried reinstalling those or putting those in again, and it wouldn't even take them. Or
well, it's likely
it would install and then they were never there.
Now, are you using what were you updating from?
What do you mean as far as updating from?
You got a Windows 10 update. You're updating from 10 to a different version of 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know what? I don't actually know the next version that it is.
Right.
But whatever it is that doesn't make it work is the next version.
Yeah. 1803, just so you know. Here's the thing. With a couple of these updates, what you need to do is let it do the update. It removes the network adapter. But before you do the update, download the new driver from Dell.
Okay.
And then say, find, you know, because now you won't have any adapters. And then you go in and say, find new hardware.
And now, see, I've tried that, and it doesn't seem to find it, or could it be that I'm not really downloading the installation for that adapter? I don't know, or just an update from Dell?
I honestly don't, and without looking at your machine, I don't know what to tell you at this point.
That's kind of a hard thing.
Yeah, and in the device manager, to see what version of the adapter you were using versus what, you know, you're downloading.
Right. Maybe I guess my own answer to the thing would be to go to maybe the adapter's website and get their latest
version. The manufacturer,
version.
It might be that Dell just doesn't have the latest version.
Yep, could be.
It might, and now I don't know anything about your machine, but it might be that Dell is not supporting Windows 10 on that machine.
Well, so, it came with Windows 10 and everything else, so hopefully it's not that old.
All right, so what you're going to have to do, though, is find out the motherboard, because 10 to 1 odds, the networking is built onto the motherboard. So you're going to have to look and see what motherboard in your list of, you know, specs it might say, or you might have to pop the side of the case and see the brand and the name of the motherboard. So then you can go to that manufacturer. Say it's, you know, ASUS or whatever, and go to that website to get the current drivers for that motherboard.
The other
and the thing with this is I've tried this, like, many times and have rolled back the update because it's not working.
Right.
Oh, one other thing, though, Rich. This is, I know, going to be shocking, but if you look in all that packaging that came with your machine,
I still may have it.
Yeah, they do have this thing called a manual. Yeah, I know. And it'll tell you the name of the manufacturer of the board and all that, you know, because it describes the slots and all that. So that might give you a quick way to go looking for
the other thing. If I can find it. I know I still have the box because I held on to that in case I had to send it back.
Yeah. Is this a desktop or a laptop?
A laptop.
That's harder. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
But there still might be a booklet, though, to describe, you know, how many memory slots it has versus USB ports and all that other stuff.
Well, you might also... Are you doing this wirelessly or wired?
Updating wirelessly, but then when I see that it's not, I can't get on the internet, I've already downloaded, like I said, the drivers or what I think is the drivers, and they're on my machine so that I don't have to go get them, if you will.
Right.
But the update is wirelessly, yes.
Okay, yeah.
And this kind of brings up a little bit of a second question. I know you've discussed it a little bit in the past, but I've tried this several times, and is my machine, stuck on Windows 10, this update, and not downloading maybe the right thing, or...
Well, there's another thing you can try, and I just updated this actually yesterday, believe it or not.
Do it wired, though.
If you go to the Security Tango website at securitytango.com.
Okay.
Under Windows Software, the first link in that menu is now called Windows Update Problems, believe it or not. Yes. And what that talks about is... When you go to install, you've got a bunch of things that they want you to try. The Windows installer, the system file check, the deployment imaging service and management file tool, all of that nonsense.
Yada, yada, yada.
Right, you've tried all that. One of the things that you can also do is find, and this tells you how to find it and where it is and what to do, is delete the software distribution folder.
Okay.
Because if you had a glitch, if you had an issue with the first download, this is another one of those things like the registry. Microsoft doesn't actually delete the stuff in the software distribution folder. So if your first download had an issue, all the rest of the downloads may well have that same issue.
Okay.
So if you clean out the entire software distribution folder, and again... This page tells you how to do all of that, right?
Okay.
Tells you everything you need to do. So if you do that and then run the update, you may get a cleaner download, and that one may work.
Okay.
The other thing I would suggest, though, is also doing it wired instead of wireless.
I can do that.
I mean, when they're being so finicky, all you got to do is have a spike or something else in the wireless, signal go down, that could cause issues. I always prefer doing any type of updates hardwired.
Okay.
I'm just old school like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the information. I'll go to the website there and take a look and see what I can find and read. And, of course, you guys are always a great help.
Perfect. Thanks, Rich.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, what happened was this was a column that I wrote, which I still says that at the bottom of the page. But I wrote this as a column a couple of weeks ago and in response to a guy named Dave from Rochester. And he wrote back and said he was totally satisfied, a totally satisfied reader. And he suggested that I then put this on the Security Tango website for everybody to be able to use. And so I thought, well, why not? It certainly gives people an option, and we'll see what happens. So that was, thank you, Dave, for that suggestion, and I hope it helps Rich. Our next caller, Mark, from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark, what's up?
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I just wanted to make a comment of the gentleman that was just talking about the laptop.
Sure.
And the wireless.
Yep.
I have my older Gateway computer back from 2012, and when the second-to-last update came in from Windows 10.
Yeah.
It broke my wireless card in that computer. Even it is a desktop, but it came with a wireless card.
Yeah.
And there is no fixing it. It's just not going to come back. Well, I ended up having to buy a USB wireless, and that works great.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to suggest to Rich, and I didn't get around to it, is that you can get a USB to wireless card converter thing. And that might be his option. It's a little cumbersome because now it sticks out of the laptop.
Well, they do make the new USBs. They work great. I didn't get one like that because I wasn't worried about how big it was because it's a desktop. But on a laptop,
right.
They have the little dongles that are no bigger than the ones that stick out for your, like, mouse.
Yeah, that's true.
Really great, too.
Yep. That's a good thought. That's an excellent thought. Thanks, Mark.
So, and the second thing is when this spring update came and it went onto the gateway, it now, not that the computer owes me anything, it's from 2012,
right.
But it broke, reboot, and shut down.
Oh, jeez.
So now when it goes to reboot, it hangs.
It'll
and
run forever.
Yeah. And when I go to turn it off, it hangs. So I just leave it on. And when the latest security the update came for it, and it needed the reboot, it took me three times to get it to take it because the reboot doesn't work properly. But like I said, the computer doesn't owe me anything.
Right. Might be time for Linux on that machine.
No, that was called the Hotel California patch. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Exactly.
Exactly. But I could laugh about it because it's not my main computer.
Well, and that's just it. Well, you know, when it's your only machine, it's actually kind of a crisis, isn't it? But
right.
when it's a secondary machine, you can laugh, you can play, you can do whatever you got to do to make it work. But it's not as big
critical.
A deal.
Yeah.
Not critical. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, you know, but then forcing out that update, like I said, you know, it always was a fact that even though you were buying Windows, you technically didn't own it anyways.
But you're not buying it, you're leasing it.
Right. So in that fact, you know, them forcing it on you, they don't care. They don't care.
They simply don't care.
You gotta realize they don't care.
That's right.
They just want to move on and move on and move on, and that's just how it works.
It's called the bottom line. That's got to keep going, growing and growing.
Even look at Android. I mean, how many versions of Android are out there? And it seems like they put out a new one every year and a half. And, you know, all of a sudden you have a tablet that won't update to the latest version,
right.
And you're five versions behind.
Right.
Those apps, so a lot of apps aren't going to support what you're running anymore.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the beast. It's frustrating, and I hate it, but there's really not much I can do about it.
Right. Well,
and they're still running scared, whether Microsoft wants to, you know, admit it or not. Google is, with the Chromebooks, are really putting the pressure on Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got an operating system that's, free. You can do just about anything and everything, you know, that you can do with Windows. More and more software in that is becoming Windows-based. Instead of having to have it on your machine, you can tie into, say, a bank's website or, you know, whatever, and do most of the stuff that you used to have to have installed on your computer.
Right.
Right. And even Google has said that they're going to do an update. They're going to update devices for about 5 years, and then they're just not going to update them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they'll stop working. You just won't get the next version or the latest updates.
And the thing with the Chromebooks anyways, they don't get viruses, spyware.
It's not as big a deal as you might think,
yeah.
but it is now a 5 year thing, and I'm coming up on that with this one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and at that, it's only a few $100 to buy a new one. It's not like $1,000 for a new machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, although you can certainly spend that on a Chromebook, but generally speaking, and of course, Google has an auto update policy for each of their Chromebooks from each of their brands, and when those machines will go out of they will expire. The auto update will expire.
And I mean, now on my Chromebook, there's not an app, you know, that's up on the Google Play Store that's up there that I couldn't put down on my Chromebook.
Right.
And run it.
Right.
I love my Chromebook, and I use it for everything I don't need a Windows computer for. And my daughter goes there to Greece Olympia, and she's graduating this
right.
year. And she's got a Chromebook that she's turning in. She goes, "Dad, I'm going to miss it so much." I said, "Well, you know, you're going to have to get something for when you go to college." She goes, "Yeah, I think I want to get another Chromebook."
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's going to save me hundreds of dollars than having to buy a Windows laptop for her.
And the yep. interesting thing is, if you buy one of the, and nobody knows which versions yet, but in theory is in September, Chromebooks will also be able to run Linux apps. So the very few things you cannot now run, like a graphics editor or a local audio editor, you'll be able to run. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, you, 40 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member support of Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And, of course, as you hear, we do not have Steve Ray with us. So we are not doing the YouTube stream today, although we are live over the air and live over the ether on the Jazz 90.1 audio stream on the web. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad, and that's where we stand today.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Patrick from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Patrick. What's up?
Well, a couple things. One, I've noticed that when I use the Jazz app on my Android,
yeah,
I can't act, now maybe because this is not a bug, it's a feature, that once you turn Jazz 90.1 on, there's no good reason to turn it off.
Right.
I can't shut it down unless I actually turn power the phone down. I don't know. Have you heard that from other people?
No, I did not. I did not have that issue, did I? I don't think I did.
And, of course, the reason I wanted to turn it off is because it then came on in my ear when I became the next caller. So it's kind of like two things going and with a slight delay. Anyway, that wasn't the real issue. I don't mind turning the thing off when I have to.
I'll look into that.
Last week, you guys had a caller talking about Flipshare. And I owned one of those for several years, and it was a delightful product. The software came bundled right in with the machine, and you plugged it in, the software went on, and it pretty much did just what you wanted to do, which was you could record videos, you could
yep.
put them on the machine easily and edit real nicely. I might still have had it, except I made the mistake of allowing the battery to get fully discharged, and apparently you couldn't replace the batteries. And it's, so when I saw this or heard the comment, and by the way, I agree with you, Dave, that there are certain situations where it's better just to have a person that's knowledgeable, have everything in front of them, the hardware and the computer, because mm-hmm. if there's one little thing that you don't see happen,
right.
or you can't tell unless you're actually looking at it.
Right.
I mean, you could say do A, B, and C, but if you're looking at it, there is an A.1,
right.
A.2 that you had to do. You say, oh, yeah, right, you have to do this, but who would know unless they had
Yeah, and the thing,
it.
Yeah, and I don't want to be responsible, because I would feel guilty as all get out if accidentally, you know, we're doing stuff and then they wound up wiping out a whole folder of family photos.
Right.
You well, know, and they're well, gone I learned, forever.
Well, I
you
learned
know?
That lesson was years ago back in the DOS days, I was helping a fella. And I said, here's, okay, you type C, semicolon, and enter. And, what is it? No, C, colon.
Colon,
enter, right?
Yeah.
And he said, done work. I got a bad commander file name. Well, I was on the phone for 10 minutes with him. 5 minutes, but he only lived 5 minutes away. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to drive over. Drove over. He had the semicolon and colon key confused.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I could have talked till I was blue in the face. And he would have thought I was an idiot, and I mean, he's gone now, so I can say this. I don't have to worry about him hearing the story. He would have thought I was a young punk
right.
that didn't know what the heck I was talking about.
Right.
But anyway, that was my plug-in for Flipshare, and just brought back memories. And I thought about maybe I should buy another one, and I realized I have a telephone, I have a Logitech webcam, and I have a Sony camcorder. So I guess I'm good for now.
I guess you're good for now, at least. Sure. Yeah.
On your same relate, I can remember one time I took a computer back to the customer. It was a 486. I'll never forget this as long as I live. So I handed him. He says, yeah, no, I can hook it all up. I know there wasn't back then that much to hook up.
And all of the connectors were unique.
Yeah. So he all of a sudden, about a half hour later, I get home, and I get a call. He says, I thought you said you fixed this. I go, yeah, I did. Well, it's not turning on. I said, so you plugged it in? He goes, well, I'm not that dumb. I said, I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he goes, yes. I said, you hit the button on the side? Yeah. Nothing's coming out? No. I even hit the button. I says, all right, tell you what, I'll be back over. Drove back over there. And back then, these big boxes, the power supply was on the right-hand side.
Right.
And there's a red switch you had to flip up.
Yep.
He was hitting the button on his control box where he could turn the monitor and everything else on. I went in there, walked over. He says, see, the darn thing won't even turn on. I looked over on the right side of it, flipped the button up, hit his power button on the front. Everything lit up. I says, thank you. Have a great day.
Yep.
You never saw somebody turn so red because he was so embarrassed because, he was calling me a liar, and everything else. And I smiled and said, have a great day.
Well,
I'd have charged him another hour.
I've seen people turn that red because when I worked at Radio Shack after Christmas, they'd bring the toys in and say they didn't work. Well, 90% of the time, one of the batteries was in. And they'd yell at you, what's the matter? You don't think I know how to put a battery in? Blah, 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 blah. So then I would just, you know how hard it is to concentrate and really get the batteries correct while somebody's screaming at you?
Yeah.
And I would okay, just a moment, please. Just give me a moment. So I put it on, and then the controls. Move it forward, backward. I said, how does that look to you, sir? Thinking a few other words in my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's now they're angry at you for fixing it.
My first Windows computer, I bought mail order, and I put it together. I never had a mouse before, and this is really something. And I called them up, and I said, I got a defect. There's a defect in the keyboard. There's a big red splotch in the middle of the screen, and it's really annoying. And a fellow said to me, okay, very polite. He said, do you have a mouse hooked up? I said, yeah. He said, move the mouse. Does the red spot move? I said, yeah. So I've learned over the years to try to refrain my anger, keep my anger levels down and just ask the question and raise up when necessary, because you do at some point. One last thing. Did you ever happen to come across a book that never should have been allowed to be published? It was in the Windows for Dummy series on using the registry.
Oh, no, don't tell me that.
Windows for Dummy using the registry.
No.
Yeah, that was years ago. I don't, maybe they pulled it off, but
probably.
I was going through a bookstore and seeing that, and I thought, the only dummy is the one that buys this.
No lie.
It better consist of one word, don't. Oh, looks like he hung himself up.
That would be... Yeah, I'd pull that book off the shelf pretty quick, too, because they could get sued for, it's said to do this, and if they didn't do it right, because it is so specific, the things that you have to do in the order, in the registry, folks, all I can say is, don't do it.
That's right.
Simply, don't do it. I won't explain any further.
I know people who go into the registry all the time. Dave.
Yeah.
Enright goes in. And Dave Ballard, the guy who took my job, goes into the registry all the time. But he knows what he's doing.
Same here. Yeah.
It's what he does. You go into the registry all the time. You know what you're doing.
Yep.
And that's a separate thing. If you've studied the registry and you're willing to then spend the 10 or 15 hours it takes to back out your problem if you do something stupid, then okay. But if you don't know what you're doing, stay out of the registry.
That is one thing that I used to, when I first started to do it, I was so nervous like you.
Yeah.
I sat there the first time I had to go into it, and it was one that I wanted to play around with anyways, just, you know, get the practice.
Yep.
So what I did is I made a copy on the other hard drive that was there. I had two flash drives. I pulled off two copies and put them on two separate flash drives. I said, no way is this going to get messed up. If I exit it, I can go back to square one.
Right.
Worst case. And that's how I taught myself. And I made some mistakes because, like I say, it is so specific.
It is very specific. One of the things that I've always loved, like I said, about Linux is all the configuration files are separate. So if I screw something up, and I have done that.
Oh, if that's how we learn.
That's exactly right. If I screw something up, I screw up that program, which I can then uninstall and reinstall. But I don't screw up the entire operating system,
mm-hmm.
and everybody stays happy.
Yeah. Whereas the registry in Windows, nope. You screw that up, nope. Forget it. Anything and everything, no, don't work.
Well, and that's the issue that we're having with many of these updates. Programmers are lazy or just not good.
We'll give them that.
And particularly when you're writing, when you're installing third-party software. Although Microsoft does it too.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remove things from the registry correctly.
That's why we tell folks, you know, to use Revo.
Revo or any of those, CClean or any of those kind of...
Well, Revo...
Revo is a better product.
Yeah.
But the basic idea is that programs don't clean up the registry correctly. And if you don't do that, you start getting junk and cruft and nonsense in the registry. And eventually that stuff and cruft and nonsense is going to cause an update to fail. More importantly, as the registry grows and grows and grows and grows, Windows takes longer and longer and longer to boot up. Those of you who say, I think Windows used to boot up faster.
Right.
You're right. It did.
It's like when we tell you folks, say, simple thing like a printer driver, and we tell you to uninstall it and that. Well, if you use the Windows way to do it, all it does is in this long registry, it just goes into the registry and changes the bit from a zero, from a one to a zero. That's how it gets rid of it.
Basically says, ignore this.
Yeah, so it's like a rem comment, and it just removes that it was even there. So now when you go to install it again, it adds it to the bottom of that one. So now you got two incidences of this in the registry, and the registry just gets a little bit bigger. And it happens with all this other software. Now, the difference with Revo, it's Revo goes in there, and it will look for any of these incidences of, say, the print driver. It will go through and delete all of them in the registry and in all your Windows folders.
Right.
So if it's also in some other system folders and everything else, it also removes that, thus keeping your machine clean and mean.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And again, that growing registry
slows
your machine down. It not only slows it down when it's loading, but it slows it down whenever you load a new program, because it's got to look through and it says, this is the one. Okay, now I can load this. And that it at computer speeds, that doesn't take much time, but it takes time.
You'll notice it, though. You know, especially if you've been working with that machine for any length of time, say a year or more. All of a sudden, like you were saying before, oh, wait a minute, this did load a little faster. It seems
sluggish. Like it slowed down.
Yeah. It's a little sluggish today.
Yep. And so if you use, if when you buy a new machine, the first program you should install is Revo.
Mm-hmm.
Revo Uninstaller. And then use that to remove anything you want to remove from your machine, and it will help. Is it perfect? No. Microsoft will find a way to screw up anything. Programmers in general, particularly third-party programs, people add a lot of, oh, this looks like a neat utility, or, oh, this looks like it'd be fun. And they're often written by, frankly, amateurs, and they don't do the registry correctly. And you may not cause a problem today, but it could cause a problem 6 months down the road when you have an update. So be very careful what you add. Use Revo instead of the installer uninstaller, and life will be a lot better for you.
No, sorry, I clicked it wrong.
That's fine. So you want to be careful of that. Oh, and to go back, auto update policy. Google has a policy now that Chromebooks will only get updates for 5 years. Well, that's, you know, that's their choice. And the reality is that as computers get more complex and they do more things, like now you can get a Chromebook that does Android apps. Well, this machine is too old to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's never going to get that update. The newer ones starting in September, they say, are going to be able to do Linux apps, which I'm really looking forward to. And of course, older machines won't be able to do those. It's just, you know, they don't do magic. But you can actually figure for 5 years on any new machine, you'll be able to get your updates for that machine. All right, that music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But fear not, because we're only going to take a short break, and then we'll come back for a whole nother hour of this nonsense. You're listening to Dave Enright, to Nick Francesco. We're taking your phone calls at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with a whole nother hour of the Memorial Day edition of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. It's right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are indeed member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you are listening to the Memorial Day edition of Sound Bites. And before we get back to the phones, let me once again thank all the veterans like Dave who were kind enough and brave enough to go in harm's way to let
Just
me
young
be a
and
free
stupid.
Man. Young and stupid enough.
And like I said, you know, also thank all the folks that are currently not home here in the U.S. With their loved ones that they're still overseas and keeping us free.
Yep, exactly right. So thanks to each and every one of you, and God bless you all. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Hiya, Walter. What's up?
Hello there, gentlemen. And well, to add to your talking about Memorial Day, I also have to say my sympathies to the Gold Star mothers and fathers who have
Absolutely.
Lost their families. You know, I thank them that they were able to let go their, you know, their children to participate and save this great nation.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, back to my problem. My brother has some VHS tapes. He wants to put them on DVD plus R's. I have a machine that will take the VHS, but will only do on DVD minus R's. Now, I have seen that with VLC, I can go ahead, take a DVD minus R, rip it off, and put it onto the hard drive.
Right.
My question is then, I've been looking on the web trying to figure out if I can then take this thing that's now on the hard drive and burn it onto a DVD plus R, maybe using XF burn. Do I do it like a data, or is it impossible?
No, you can't. Well, okay, here's the thing. I don't quite know why he specifically wants it to be plus R.
He just has the discs. That's it. I guess he has some, and he just wants to burn them off rather than go out and spend the money where I can get a DVD minus R's. You know, that's the only reason I can guess is that he's cheap.
Well, yeah, all right. But there's a little more to it, the way they handle defects and rewrite. You can't rewrite a minus R, but you can rewrite a plus R.
Tell him to save those for another project and just go out and buy a small 15-pack.
Yep, I can get a 5-pack for him, too.
There's the difference in terms of use, unless he specifically has a device that will only read DVD plus R, and I don't know of one, but unless he has a device that only reads plus R, then he should be able to read a minus R without any trouble. He just can't. The big difference between a plus R and a minus R is that a plus R, you can add more stuff to later.
If you don't close the session.
If you don't close the session.
Right.
But in either case, once you close the session, you're done anyway, pretty much. But if you're going to be filling it with stuff from a VHS tape, you're going to close the session anyway because you can't add more anyway.
Yeah, and why spend $5 to earn a quarter?
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to get all this other software to do.
Right.
The bottom line, just go out and get a five-pack.
Here's the thing to do. Burn one and see if he can read it. If he can read it, he should be happy. Honestly, try it. You got nothing to lose. If it doesn't work, it'll tell you it can't work, and then you got to move on.
Right.
But if it works and then he can read it, everybody wins.
All the way around. You know, it's a win-win situation.
Right.
Okay. That's what I thought. That just
and like Nick was saying there, Walter, once you're not going to want to add more onto it anyways, because most likely, depending on how much is on these VHS tapes, you want to keep them separate anyways.
Yeah.
When you go to label them, so kind of a moot point there.
Yeah. I just don't, he hasn't explained to me other than he just wants to have them on there. And it's like, I've done his weddings VHS tapes. Been 15 years, got them, converted them to DVD minus R's, no problem. Why now have this with the plus R?
Well, because he's already got the disc. So try one. If it works for him, just don't tell him you did anything different.
Okay.
Simple enough.
All right.
There you go.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. We don't condone lying here on this show. Just so you understand. But that was a joke.
Hello, your name?
It was a joke. Get off your high horse. It was a joke. just as a reminder, if you are having Windows Update problems, check the Security Tango under Tango on the Security Tango under the Windows Software menu choice. The top choice is now Windows Update Problems, and that will lead you to a page that might help if you're having those sorts of problems. And so it wouldn't hurt to take a look. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Larry from Greece, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Well, I'm just curious about one thing. You used to have a blurb you played about not using a speakerphone.
Yeah.
That applies to cell phones, I think?
Well, it depends on the cell phone. The problem with cell phones is that some of them have an echo. And that makes it almost impossible for us to hear what it is you're saying.
Yeah.
And not all of them have that, but some do. And I'm not versed enough in cell phones to be able to tell you why or which ones or where they are or whatever. And also, of course, if you're outdoors and it's windy, that can be an issue for cell phones as well. But generally speaking, the main reason we don't like people to use speakerphones is because it's a terrible audio experience. And I get it. I mean, I know why people do it, and I understand certainly in a situation where you're in a group and you've got it's a conference call or whatever. But on a one-to-one thing, unless you're actually typing while a person is talking, try this, try that, try this. Having a speakerphone is just a terrible audio experience.
And it's usually in a big room, and the acoustics there is not conducive.
Yeah. Well, I also thought a couple of weeks ago you had trouble with somebody online. I had a feeling some phones don't duplex very well.
Yeah, some cell phones are terrible in terms of audio. They're just lousy speakers, rather microphones. They're just cheap. And I get that. You know, it's there's nothing we can do about that. Not every phone has high end equipment in it, but certainly the folks who run the station are very concerned about the quality of audio that goes out over the air, because it's how people judge us.
But it also seems sometimes they can't hear you when they're talking because their phone doesn't let it come through.
Well, exactly. Some phones are half duplex, which means you can't talk and listen simultaneously.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it with all the people who walk around talking at their phone.
Right.
That's just rude.
Well, and that's the other thing. People who talk, they hold their phones level and they talk, and then the speaker, they've actually got it on speaker.
Mm-hmm.
They do that because they see people doing it on television. The reason they do it on television is so you can hear both ends of the conversation for the drama. It has nothing to do with quality. People think, well, this is the way you're supposed to use a cell phone, and it's just you look like an idiot when you do it. I'm sorry, everyone. It's just not. It's not the way you use a cell phone. Unless there's something, unless your earphone speaker is broken, it's not the way you're supposed to use a cell phone. And it gives you that horrible audio quality again. All right, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have fun.
And what he is referring to is...
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
I love that one.
That is a great one. That is a great one. And again, if you listen to it carefully, what you're hearing is they're concerned about audio quality and flow of the show. That's definitely something that was created by somebody who's in radio as a living, as opposed to somebody like us who just wants to help you with your problems. So it's a very different outlook, but it's still true. You know, I'm old now, and I went to way too many concerts as a kid and stood way too close to the speakers. So I have tinnitus, the ringing in the ears, and I can't hear as well as I used to on top of that. So if people call in and they're on a speakerphone and it's echoey, or they're on an inexpensive cell phone and it's garbled, I can't understand them. And it's simple. And I've got good headphones and nice Sony headphones. I'm listening. I can't hear you.
Well, that's what I run into in the problem. I go, because folks will put me on speakerphone. And that's why a number of times I have gotten names wrong. Because they're trying to give me their name. I'm on speakerphone with them, and they're trying to tell me their name. Meanwhile, I hear a kid or some dog running through the house or something else, other background music. And I'm going, what? What? And I don't hear the name correctly because I can't scream things out here.
Right.
And, you know, and they're just sitting back talking, you know, trying to, yeah, it's Joe from Buffalo, you know, or whatever. You know, I can't hear them because they're on a speaker.
Right.
Instead of talking to me directly into the phone.
Right. And your other problem is that I'm usually screaming loudly in your other ear.
Yeah.
Because we're way too close to each other here in the studio.
Yeah.
And back in the day when we had a screener in a separate room.
Right.
That was a different story.
That would be, because eventually, supposedly they're going to put you guys in the other room.
Yeah.
And then this way here, I can just sit there and say, put them on speaker here.
Right.
And say, name, and I put it on a screen. That's someday down the road,
right.
20
Steve
years.
Steve and I are looking forward to the days when we talk about you without you knowing we're saying anything.
Yeah. Remember who has full control. Don't ever let that. You can sit there and do Italian gestures and anything else and talk and everything else. Put up signs. I have control.
That's true. You do. But yeah, so that's part of our issue. And like I said, my issue is I'm old and I can't hear anything.
Dude, I got already one hearing aid so I can help you.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. All right, to the news. This is a good one. The FBI has seized a key domain used to infect more than 500,000 homes, half a million homes, and small office routers in a move that significantly frustrates a months-long attack that agents say was carried out by the Russian government. The takedown stems from an investigation that started no later than last August and culminated in a court order issued Wednesday directing domain registrar VeriSign to turn over control of toknowall.com. An FBI affidavit said the hacking group behind the attacks is known as Sofasi. I don't know. The group, which is also known as Fancy Bear, Sednit, and Pawnstorm, is credited with a long list of attacks over the years, including the 2016 hack of the Democratic National Committee. VPN Filter, as the Cisco researchers dubbed the advanced malware, is one of the few Internet of Things infections that can survive a reboot, but only the first stage has this capability. To compensate for the shortcoming, the attackers relied on the three separate mechanisms to independently ensure stages 2 and 3 could be installed on infected machines. The to-know-all domain was seized Wednesday, hosted a backup server for uploading a second stage of the malware to already infected routers in the event of a primary method, which relied on PhotoBucket failing. VPN Filter relied on a third method that used so-called listeners, which allow attackers to use specific trigger packets to manually send later stages. Taking control of a command and control server is known as sinkholing, which is another thing we heard a lot about this week, but in a different context. It allows researchers or law enforcement officers to monitor the IP addresses of infected devices that connect and to prevent them from receiving malware or malicious instructions. The seizure of toknowall.com is a major coup because it closes a secondary channel and may also provide previously unavailable information to the FBI that they can use to begin the process of helping ISPs and end users disinfect the devices. Still, based on information provided by Cisco, the sinkholing doesn't automatically stop VPN Filter in its tracks. Assuming the attackers captured the IP addresses of devices infected with stage 1, the attackers may still be able to use the listener to regain control of the devices. In August, FBI agents in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, interviewed a local resident whose home router was infected with VPN Filter. The resident voluntarily let the agents analyze the device and attach a network tap that allowed the FBI to monitor traffic leaving the router. The agents then used the tap to identify the way the malware worked. On Tuesday, the FBI asked Federal Magistrate Judge Lisa Pupo Lenihan in Pittsburgh to turn over control of toknowall.com to the agents. Lenihan granted the request on Wednesday. It's not clear why it took 9 months from the time the agents interviewed the router owner to their request of the domain seizure. So what the FBI would love to have you do right now is reboot your router. Do it. And we'll be back to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Back with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And as I was saying before the break, the FBI has taken over this domain, toknowall.com, and that means that the bad stuff in your router can't reinfect it anymore because they own the domain now and they've taken away that feature. So you should today, now, immediately,
if not sooner,
after the show, because if you're listening over the web stream,
yep,
you should reboot your router. And that's really all you have to do. Rebooting the router, like we said, stage one is not removable by rebooting, but stage one goes away once stage two is in. And stage one can't do anything anymore now that they've gotten rid of that domain. So if you reboot your router, it will be clean again. And so you may not be infected, but half a million people are. So you can either play the odds, which hasn't helped you with the lottery very much, or you can just reboot your router and wait 2 minutes to get back online.
It doesn't hurt to do that periodically anyway.
It never hurts to do that every once in a while. It just is a thing you should do. And so when you have a couple of minutes to spare, you know, make sure nobody else is, you know, nobody's on Netflix or whatever. I plan on doing it after my wife gets home. She spends a little bit of time doing stuff, and then she goes and takes a nap because she's been at Public Markets. And we own a coffee stand at the Public Market, Flower City Coffee.
Oh, dark 30.
She's been there since stupid o'clock this morning. And so she'll be taking a nap a little later on, and I'll be completely free to spend a couple of minutes waiting for the router to reboot. It'll be easy and fast. And
you know, that would be really cruel if somebody does it. When somebody, say somebody's watching a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
And it's right at the critical point.
Yeah.
You go down and hit the reset.
That's grounds for murder. I don't think there's a jury on earth that will convict you. The last 30 seconds of Game of Thrones, innocent. Let her go. Not a problem.
What was it, that football game? And
yeah,
they wound
up
going to Heidi?
They went to Heidi instead, yeah.
I think it was a Jets game.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't remember which teams it was.
And there's the last play, and now they switched to Heidi.
Holy cow. Man, oh man.
That was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine the people? I wish I had a camera on the people watching the game.
Oh.
Particularly those people gathered around a big
sports bar?
TV or in a sports bar.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grounds for murder.
There were probably some bartenders that were killed because somebody thought they changed the channel. But I've done that. You joke about you're the controller of the board. I used to tell my daughter when she was younger, I own the router.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do your homework, that router gets turned off. I don't care. I'll play the banjo. Back when I didn't have arthritis.
Okay, Judy, reboot.
It was so reboot your router today. Only 500,000 people were affected, but you don't know that you aren't one, and it's a 2-minute fix. Big deal. Reboot your router. Wait a couple of minutes. You're back on the internet. You can do that while you're, you know, doing something else for 30 seconds. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Judy from Webster, New York. Hi, Judy. What's up?
Hi. I just want to know if you have had any... I haven't been listening for the first hour, so... Has anybody called in about the recent Windows 10 update that messed up computers?
Oh, yes. You're not the first. Here's the thing, Judy. There are some things that can be done and a few things you can try. And what I did was, in fact, I did this just yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, I did a newspaper column about this. And the fella that asked the question wrote back to me and said, you really ought to put that somewhere online on the Security Tango so anybody can read it and deal with it. So I did that. If you go to securitytango.com, off the menu across the top is one of the links is called Windows Software. And if you hover your mouse over that, if you point your mouse to that, you get a little drop down because it's a menu. And the first choice on that menu is Windows Update Problems, and it'll take you to a page that's not short. but it gives you all of the things that people try, everything from, you know, the Windows Troubleshooter, the System File Check, the DISM tool. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And that stuff, and then it will also tell you about clearing out the software distribution folder, and then retrying the download. But those are the things to try. And if, as with everything in the Tango, you try them in order and see which one works for you. But what often seems to happen is that the first download doesn't work properly, often because there's a glitch in the download. And then Windows doesn't really re-download everything. That glitch stays there forever, no matter how many times you re-download the software. So clearing out the software distribution folder, or just renaming it to softwaredistribution.bak, for example, to get it out of the way, means that when you do the update again, it'll re-download a full new copy. Hopefully this time you'll get a good download and it'll work.
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't even get into anything. What happened is I got this blue screen with several options, and it said keyboard language, and I pushed U.S. The next screen said the back row, and the computer was actually locked. I had to take it into MicroWorks.
Yeah.
I haven't picked it up yet, but the computer just locked right up, and he said that they had three or four machines come in like that.
Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario, and I'm so sorry you got caught by it. Then there truly is, in that instance, there is truly nothing you can do except bring it to a reputable dealer like MicroWorks, because you'll find that that requires tools the average person simply doesn't have. And there's nothing else that can be done about that. I'm so sorry.
Is there any recourse to Microsoft?
No, they don't care. I hate to put it that way,
yeah.
But they don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're pushing out the update, and if you don't like it, too bad. Buy a Mac. Use Linux. Buy a Chromebook. They don't care. I'm sorry.
You can't turn off the updates.
Pardon?
You can't turn off updates?
No, and that was, in fact, our lead story this week.
Yeah, main story.
Microsoft is now ignoring. You can. There are places you can go in the system to say, do not update this machine. Microsoft is now ignoring those and updating people anyway. So even if you turn off updates, even if you say, I don't want updates, you're going to get them. Microsoft doesn't care.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
All right. Well, I just wondered if you had any other calls about it and if anybody was as locked up as I was.
Yeah, a lot of people. And I'm so sorry, Judy. I wish I had a better answer for you, but there just isn't one. Microsoft will do what Microsoft wants to do. And
too bad for you.
And too bad for you, I guess. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well,
I hope
I'm. Thank you for your sympathy. Thank you for your show.
Thank you. Thanks, Judy. I'm sure MicroWorks will handle your machine as professionally as they do everything else. So you should be fine. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Yeah, I feel I do. My heart goes out to these people. You know, there's nothing you can do. Microsoft is going to update your machine whether you want them to or not, and you don't get a choice in the matter. And to be fair, Google does exactly the same thing to my Chromebook, only they do it in the background. And, if I were to leave it on 24/7, that update would never actually, happen. But when, you know, my Chromebook updates in the background and then the next time I restart it, I get the new stuff. But it doesn't interrupt what I'm doing. It doesn't, crush my machine. In any way. And, you know, Apple has the same sort of thing on my Linux box. It downloads the updates in the background, but I have the right to say when that update occurs or if that update occurs.
Right.
But Microsoft simply doesn't care. They want what they want when they want it, and they're going to get it because they own your machine.
They own the software.
That's exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hiya, James. What's up?
Hi. I have an Airport Extreme. How do I reboot that, and do I need to?
You probably... Well, like I said, it's only 500,000 people, so the odds are no. But it certainly doesn't hurt to do it, and the easiest way to do it... do you know which model of the Airport Extreme?
No, it's a tall one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There is a button. There's a reset button that will reboot it. It's a I don't have one, so where is the reset button?
Okay, maybe it's a pinhole, one of those.
No, that'll reset. No.
You don't want to do that one.
I got to move a lot of stuff.
James, hold on. You do not want to use where you put the paperclip. That takes you back to factory settings.
Oh.
So right. Basically, if you know, say if the power went out, you know, if you unplug it and then count to 10 and then plug it back in.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Now, the other thing that you can do, okay, once you've rebooted it, open the airport utility on your computer, right, under Applications Utilities.
Okay.
Select your base station. It's probably the only one you have, but select it and then click Edit. Then there's a thing that says Other Options, and you can select Restore Previous Settings. And you know, keep clicking Next until it says Okay, and then wait a while until the airport says that setup is complete. Click Done, and then you can get out of the airport utility, and it will then save that last configuration.
Oh, good. Okay. How about the firmware? Do I need to mess with that?
Generally not.
No.
But it's certainly in that same utility. It should tell you actually whether or not there's an update for the software. And then there's a button that you click and yada, yada, yada. But
okay.
It'll walk you through it if needed.
Right, right.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
Like I said, we talked about this. It was our opening thing. The FBI is suggesting that because there were 500,000 machines, routers, that were infected by VPN, whatever filter, that you should then reboot your router. And like I said, it only takes a couple of minutes, and it's easy enough to do. And when you do that, if you were infected, you will be cleaned out. And if you weren't, then you've just, you know, wasted 2 minutes of your life. 2 minutes you're not online. Big deal. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco. We've got Steve from Greece waiting patiently on the line. And you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Steve from Greece on the line. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. A request and a question. Could you put the information of what to do about the routers on your web page and the soundbite, so I can just email the link to all the people rather than dealing with them one at a time?
Yes.
And now my question is, and I know you don't want to give enough information to get people in trouble, but would Hiram's boot disk basically get past a lot of these, I can't get into my system and all this other stuff. Is that something that you would maybe want some of your people to just go to their site, download it, and burn it?
Yeah, well, in general, there are a number of live CD type things that would let you go to the hard drive and see if you can fix what's wrong. But most of them are not going to let you screw around with Windows itself.
Right.
So they're useful if the hard drive is really dead to then maybe reformat it or whatever. But you would still need a copy of Windows, and you can do that with Windows itself, right? So if you put in your Windows CD into the drive, one of the things it'll say is this a fresh install, and do you want me to format the drive, and yada, yada, yada. So, things like any of the live CD type machines, boot disk rather, are really designed to do troubleshooting of hardware and stuff, not so much of Windows.
Right, and it'll get itself into other software, let's say like antivirus software or malware stuff that's running and initially might be, you know, causing the machine not to fully boot.
Right, because you were talking about emptying that file, and I'm wondering if I could get to it through one of those programs that basically run the system off of the CD.
Right, but the problem is by that time, if the reason your machine is screwed up is because it won't boot at all, you're past that. Right?
Okay.
Because it's already installed junk in the boot sector.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But it's a good thought. It just won't work in this particular instance.
Well, a good thought. Who cares if it works or not?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. You have a good holiday.
Thanks. You too. Hi-Ren creates something called Hi-Ren's Boot CD, which, again, is nice to do a lot of things with. You can do it with a lot of live CDs now, Linux CDs, and et cetera, et cetera. And they're all good. They're all good devices. But at this particular juncture, if your machine is not booting, it's because there's already something screwed up in the master boot record. And in general, these won't actually fix that on Windows 10. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Gates, New York. Hi, Mike. What's up?
I got on Google. I want to find out how to get into every site I go on to. They keep the site. The other day, I don't know how I got in, but I got in there. I had to delete from now until back to January, but I wanted to get in again, and I can't get in. I don't know how to do that.
I'm sorry, I lost, as I said earlier today, I have tinnitus, and it is very, very loud today. Can you more slowly repeat what you said? I just didn't get it all. I apologize. It's my tinnitus and I can't hear. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Could you repeat that, please? Again, a little more slowly because my tinnitus, I just couldn't hear you. The ringing in my ears, it was very loud and I didn't catch everything you said.
Well, I get on Google.
Yeah.
And, on the website, they keep track of every website I go on.
Yes.
How do I get onto that so I can delete the websites?
Oh, you want to delete the history? Okay.
Yeah, the history.
What browser are you using?
They said Google.
Are you using Chrome?
No, just on a Windows computer.
Is it the E?
I just about can hear you. Can I go on speakerphone?
Hold on a second. The way you do it is you want to be able to view your browser history. And if you're using Microsoft Edge, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're using Microsoft Edge, which is the browser that comes with Windows 10, if you're using that browser, then there's across the top of the screen, you should see the word hub, H-U-B, and maybe a little star. And if you pull down that menu, you'll see history with maybe a little clock next to it. And then if you click on that, one of your choices is to clear all history. Okay. And you can choose what you want to delete or just select everything and then hit the clear button. That's done. It's done.
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
All right. Excellent. Thanks. Thank you. Again, my tinnitus is tinnitus.
No,
I guess it's pronounced tinnitus. Has been very bad the last couple of days, and I just don't necessarily hear as well as I'd like to. My wife was complaining that she could hear my TV from downstairs yesterday. I'm old, and I have tinnitus, and I can't help it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our pal Bodan from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Bodan. What's up?
Hi, guys. Hey, a colleague of mine gave me a CK brand. I think it's called an expansion portable drive. So it's got to be an external hard drive, I believe.
Yep.
And I hooked it up to my work computer, and the first thing I noticed that it was installing a driver. I didn't want to do anything more. I didn't want to open anything up because, again, I was at work and it's whatever.
Sure.
But I ejected it, and I brought it home. This morning, I hooked it up to my personal computer running Windows 10, and the system recognizes something's there. I can't open it. I just cannot figure out how to open and see what's there.
It doesn't show up in your list of drives.
It does show up as devices, and when I double click on it, it just says it's got the general. It says manufacturer unavailable, model, expansion, category, storage device. I click on hardware, and then I do see Seagate expansion disks device, and then it says below it in the second line USB attached SCSI mass storage device. I cannot get it to open. I just cannot, you know, see what's there. I don't know what could be there, if anything.
Okay, so all right. This is not an unusual thing. In Device Manager under USB, Universal Serial Bus Controllers, the one that's connected to the Seagate drive, what you want to do is remove that serial bus. And it'll reinstall the serial bus drivers, and theoretically, according to Microsoft, that fixes the problem magically.
So what do I do? Is it what do I do?
Well,
I
you go
it from the computer first of all, right?
Right, well, yeah. You leave it. It's got to know it's there, so you want to leave it in the machine.
Oh, you want to leave it in the machine, okay?
Then you go into Device Manager.
That's where I'm gonna devices and printers. Is that Device Manager?
Sure. And you then go down to where it says Universal Serial Bus Controllers.
Let's see, control panel. Go backwards.
All right, here. Forget where you are. I don't know where you are. So let's do this from the beginning.
Control panel, hardware and sound, devices and printers.
Do this. Hold down the Windows key and press R, and that'll bring up a run window.
Okay, stand by. Windows key and R, okay. Run, yep.
Then type, you want the device management Microsoft thing, so you want to type DEV for device.
DEV.
MGMT for management. It's all one word.
MGMT, okay.
Dot MSC.
MSC, okay.
Microsoft Control.
Okay, so now hit OK.
And then hit Enter. That should open the Device Manager.
Windows cannot find DEV. Make sure you typed it correctly. Let's
no,
try
it's
it
all
again.
One word. DEVMGMT.MSC.
DEV altogether, or I put a space between the DEV?
No space. No space.
No space, okay. So DEV... MGMT. So David Edward Victor Mary George Mary Thomas dot MSC.
Right. Michael Samuel Charles.
Now I got it. Device Manager. Yes, sir.
Now expand the Universal Serial Bus Controllers at the left bottom.
Hang on a second. Yep, I do see that.
And click on that first, right click on the first USB controller there and click on uninstall. And then do that for all the USB controllers. Restart the computer, and that will, and Windows will then scan the hardware and say, oh, you have USB controllers I didn't know about, and they'll come up and you're done.
Okay, one quick question. I do see generic USB. I see two of those, but then I also see an Intel 8 series. I see an Intel USB Realtek card reader. I just do the generic USB hubs, which I show two only.
Theoretically, that should be all you need to do. If it doesn't work, go back and do the others.
Okay, so uninstall those two, restart the computer, and then now should I unplug, detach, eject?
Eject the device, yeah. But then do the reinstall and it restart, and it should be fine.
All right, I'll eject, and then I'll remove those two generic USB hubs. I'll restart the computer, and I'll reattach the external hard drive.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Good luck. Yeah. Sometimes Microsoft solutions are nuclear. But you know what? At this point, they're not giving you a lot of other options. So I get it. I do get it. So that makes sense. Look, that music tells me that we're done for another week. I know there were people hanging on the line. I apologize. We cannot get to you. I'm so sorry. Please call earlier next week. Calling it 5 minutes before the end of the show means you're likely not to get on. But I do want to thank all those who called in. I want to thank Dave Enright for all his very hard work this week. I want to thank Steve Ray for not showing up at all. I hope he's listening. I'll get an angry text a little later. And I want to thank all of you. And don't go away, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we remain member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 little hours. Bye-bye.
Follow Jazz 90.1 on Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.